Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Blues fly today at 2, tomorrow at 2 with the full show. They have the civilian acts flying at noon, and then on Saturday, the big deal. And we're on the air all day starting at 5 a.m. with traffic. 7 o'clock, I start Pensacola Morning News for 2 hours. Jenna does pep talk for an hour. Bobby and Cooper do 2 hours of Pensacola Right Now. Then I've got Captain McWhirter on the beach from 12 to 2. While the civilian acts are flying, we talk about Blue Angels history and what the team does and all that kind of stuff. And then from 2 to 3, you can listen to the Blues narration, which we carry over the air, by the way. So if you're out on a boat, definitely bring up News Radio 92.3 or get us on the app or whatever and listen. And it's kind of funny because you always hear stories about, like, one boat's got us on, and then the boat over's like, hey, where are you getting that? And then they'll tell them, and then they'll tell them. And it's kind of like this sharing across the water and across the beach, which is always fun to hear about. Joining us now, we have the Pensacola Police Department. We've got Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And we just had something come out I want to make sure you and Davis know about. We're on our way now to a crash with injuries in the 2200 block of Scenic Highway, which is right in front of Spyglass Point Apartments. Vehicles hit a pole there, so traffic's going to be backed up in that area for a little bit.
All right. Do we know southbound or northbound by chance which side is the car on?
Well, the crash is on the north side of the highway, so I'm not sure, depending on the scene, how many lanes or which lanes are going to be closed.
All right, very good. And pardon my ignorance of location. Is that scenic above I-10 or is that scenic below I-10?
It's below. It's not too far from where Cervantes turns into scenic.
I got you. Okay. Oh, okay. So down by the apartments down there. I got you. That's what you said. Very good. You guys had a good day yesterday. Swore in some new officers, right?
Yeah, 3 new officers have been sworn in. We're always glad to see that, standing up there with smiles on their faces and families there. And all of us remember that day that it happened to us. And, I mean, it's getting difficult for me because I'm getting a little older. But what a wonderful day that is in the career of a new police officer.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I had a chance to go to one of your swearing-ins a couple of years ago. I haven't been to them. They seem to happen all the time, which is good news. How close are you or are you at full staffing right now?
I would have to check. I don't think we're very far off the mark with these 3, and there's some more coming in behind them. So I don't think we're too far off as far as shift strength goes.
When you have new officers coming in, because everywhere across the country, people are just, you know, trying to find officers. When you have new officers come in at the Pensacola Police Department, what do they tell you about why they want to be a part of PPD?
The first thing that usually comes out is they hear about the professionalism. That department has been known as professionals for many, many years. And, you know, I came from out of state. I came from Kentucky, and I came down here and applied at 3 different agencies. And I was told very quickly, if you want the professionalism, you need to go to the city. And I was going to go to whoever called me first, and fortunately that was the city. So here I am. And so that's usually what they hear. Hear about first.
All right, very good. Well, you know, I'm kind of like I've got all these law enforcement agencies, and I support them all equally. But I also have to give you your chance to talk about why you particularly love yours. So, you know, which again, when you're swearing in new officers, it's always a good thing to celebrate. How anything happened over the last couple of days? Any bad news? Because whenever you know, you're always involved in the bad news. Also some good news. But you know, anything happened over the last couple of days that we don't already know about?
Well, we just had the traffic fatality up on Creighton, and right, that was on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. It looks like speed may have played a factor in that one. But besides that, it's been pretty quiet in the city.
That was Creighton east of 9th Avenue, right, where it's all curvy in the neighborhoods there?
Yep. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is that a place where you have a lot – because it's a weird place to drive because it's Creighton and you feel like Creighton should be fast, but it's not fast in that vicinity. Is that a place where you see very many accidents?
Well, at that particular location, has seen fatalities before.
Okay.
There's a couple of big trees there, and the trees are like I said, they're big. They do a lot of damage, and when you combine speed and a collision with that tree, it's never a good thing. So that place or that location is no stranger to accidents.
I was talking earlier this morning with Wes Moreno, who's the interim county administrator for Escambia County, and we were talking about this redesign, revamp, reimagine master plan for Jackson Street, which is mostly in the county, but of course also partly in the city up to A Street. Is Jackson, I know Jackson as a bicyclist is awful, but is Jackson from a safety perspective, do you guys see a lot of problems there currently?
Not like we used to. Back in the mid-90s, late 90s, early 2000s, it was a lot busier around that area, but not near as much as it used to be. There's a lot of new construction going on in those areas, and like you said, the Cervantes is going to be reworked, and we'll see how that works out. But as far as violent crimes or anything like that, it's not like it used to be. Things have improved greatly around there.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't do the project, but, you know, sometimes we try to solve the problems that used to be problems. You know, it takes so long for government to act, but I'll have to take a little bit more look into the Jackson. Did 4th of July go well from your perspective as law enforcement? I know I saw a lot of PPD downtown for the Bayfront show, for the Satoma show.
Yeah, you know, they do that every year, the traffic division, and you know, hats off to sergeants, the traffic sergeants down there, Lawrence and Sergeant Brierton. They know exactly what they're doing. Their crew knows what they're doing. They man traffic lights at specific intersections to make everything run north and south at the same time. They coordinate that over the radio, and then they switch to east and west, and they get folks out of there pretty quick. They don't lay back and just let the traffic go as it does, because you'd have gridlock. So they get them out of there pretty quick, and they've been doing that for several years successfully.
You know, one of the other things I've been meaning to ask you about, we talked with the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office a couple of weeks ago about the handful of fights / shootings that were involving the bike gangs in Santa Rosa County, including the Outlaws. Now, the Outlaws, rather famously or infamously, whatever, they have a house here in Pensacola. Have they been a problem here locally recently?
No, I'm not aware of any issues with any motorcycle gangs in the city.
Okay, well, I mean, that's why I asked the question, because I don't know the answer. Last thing, you sometimes have a myth for me, or a way people perceive the police department. Is there one of those for this week?
Yeah, it's the interrogation room. You see that on TV a lot. It's a dark room with a bright light hanging down the center of the room, and the bad guy is sitting in a chair, and all he can see is that bright light, and then the officers come in, and they just talk to him really nasty, and sometimes it gets physical. None of that's true.
And the one-way glass and the, you know, what is it actually like? Is there even a room?
Oh, yeah, we have several rooms, and they are called interview rooms. And the individual goes in there. It's very well lit. There's carpet in there. There's a table. There's a couple of chairs. And the investigator sits down, and they have a conversation. A lot of times it's cordial, and sometimes it's not very comfortable for the suspect. But nobody's yelling and screaming, and nobody's using violence. And that's not the way it works.
Do you know how – I don't say boring, but – you couldn't make cop shows if you made them accurate, because every element would have to be done differently. It's amazing when we talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for PPD. Mike, thanks as always for the work. We appreciate the time as well, sir.
Thank you, Andrew.